Thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with a great deal of pleasure that the music ministry of the Freeway Baptist Church presents for you tonight The Glorious Impossible.
As theories become a realized promise, and our philosophies become a relationship with the God who becomes part of His creation, that He might save it. God incarnate, transforming creatures into children of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them.
Thank you. design this manger for your bed. You have a long road before you, rest your little head. Can you feel the weight of your glory? Do you understand the price? Or does the Father guard your heart for now, so you can sleep tonight? Go to sleep, my son. Go and chase your this world can wait for one more moment. Go and sleep in peace. I believe the glory of heaven is lying in my arms tonight. Lord, I ask that He, for just this moment, simply be my child. Go to sleep, my son. Close your eyes. Soon enough you'll save the day. But for now, dear child of mine, oh my Jesus, sleep tight.
Manger held such a holy sight. Oh, this gift from heaven would bring them life. Life forever in a heavenly place, for every nation, color, creed, and race. Oh, this little baby's gonna change the world in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. What do they call that little bitty baby?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
What did the heavenly hosts proclaim?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Who would have thought this tiny lad would hold all power in his hands? Tell me, what did they call him? King Jesus is his name. Tell me, what do you call him? King Jesus. Tell me, what do you call him? King Jesus. Tell me, what do you call him? King Jesus. Tell me, what do you call him? King Jesus. What do you call that little bitty baby?
Jesus is his name.
What did the heavenly hosts proclaim? Who would have thought this tiny lad would hold all power in his hand? Tell me, what did they call? King Jesus is his name. Is his name. King Jesus is his name. King Jesus is his name. King Jesus.
Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
You will keep all who shall be.
And the angels said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Christmas time is near again.
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people.
But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee.
And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising.
I'd like to say a special word of thanks to our sound and media team tonight for their efforts. And especially I would like to thank Brother Mike Borton for his work with the choir. They did a tremendous job. And these people behind me tonight are some of the finest people on God's earth. And I'm so proud of the job that they've done. And they sang it to the Lord. And they gave us the privilege of listening. And for this we're grateful. As the choir leaves, let's give them another hand, shall we? This is the time in the service where a lot of people get nervous because they see the pastor standing up there near the top of the hour with a Bible in his hand. And I don't want anybody to get nervous because I'm not going to preach a full-bore sermon. But I think it would be a great disservice to hear a message in song like this and not take the Word of God and add some perspective to what has been sung. And tonight I want to share a message, a simple message, that corresponds with the message that we have heard in song. And that is the glorious impossible. Did you know that everything about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied hundreds and thousands of years before the Lord came? By human standards, for Christ to be the fulfillment of so many prophecies, it was an impossibility. What is impossible for man is possible with God. I don't know if you remember what Mary said when told by the angel that she would have a child. And she said, "How can this thing be?" And the angel Gabriel said unto her that with man these things are impossible, but with God nothing shall be impossible. I believe that tonight, don't you? I want to share just a verse of Scripture with you, because I think it talks about something that is an impossibility, a glorious impossibility. You may say, "Pastor, you just shared with us that with God nothing shall be impossible." But did you know there is something that is impossible for God? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 6, it says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie." I suppose with God nothing shall be impossible. But there is one impossibility for a holy God. The Bible declares here, it is impossible for God to lie. And so the message that we have heard declared in music this evening is based upon the Word of God. That is the Word of a God that cannot lie. And I don't know about you, but I think it is a glorious impossible that God cannot lie. Because I am staking my forever upon that one fact, that God will never lie. Do you know what He said? "If you come to Me," in John chapter 6, He said, "I will in no wise cast you out." Sometimes, folks, we think, "You know, I don't know how I could ever go to heaven because I've been too bad a person. If you really understood all the things that I had done, then you would think somehow that I was not a candidate for salvation." But a God that cannot lie said, "If you come to Me, I will not cast you out." The door is wide open. He came unto His own. We heard it tonight. "And His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Christmas can be summed up in a verse that is not often used at Christmas. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1. At verse 15, it says this: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Do you know why Christmas took place? It was that Jesus, God the Son, came to save sinners. Do you know why He did that? Because they could not save themselves. There was no possible way that they could of themselves pay the terrible penalty for sin apart from going to a devil's hell. And because Jesus loved you, and He loved me so much, He came to this earth wrapped in flesh so that that flesh could be laid upon a cross so that we might be saved. You know, I'm going to share something with you simply and draw the service to a conclusion. Sometimes people hear the word saved. If you take a dictionary, a Bible dictionary or a concordance, and you just look up the word saved, it's a very simple definition. It means this: delivered from destruction. To be saved is to be delivered from destruction. God does not want you to be destroyed in hell. That's not His will for your life. The Bible says very clearly that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why Jesus came, to give you salvation. And quite simply, the way to receive the gift of eternal life is this. First, we must understand that the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We must come to the place where we agree with what God says, a God that cannot lie, who said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no one is perfect. No, not one. I'm not. You're not. The Bible not only says that we're imperfect, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've sung of the glory of the incarnation and the glory of our God, and the true glory of God is in this awesome truth, that He is holy. He is holy. And we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are those, perhaps in this room tonight, that think that somehow, some way, when they come to the end of their life, they will die and stand before God, and there in heaven will be a vast scale. And on one side of the scale will be all of their evil works, and on the other side of the scale will be all of their good works. And they believe in their hearts that somehow, if their good works outweigh their bad works, that God will peradventure show them mercy and allow them to come into heaven. There's an inherent problem with that ideology, and that is that God never said that. He never implied that. It's nowhere in the body of Scripture. And so we must go to the words given by a God that cannot lie and trust our eternity on that immutable truth about our God. He said, you're a sinner. And can I tell you this? God requires one thing from you. Do you know what it is? Perfection. Because sin may never enter into the presence of a holy God. Now you may say, Pastor, that's the most frustrating thing I have ever heard, because I am not perfect, and because I have sinned, I will never be perfect. And that's why we needed a Savior. For example, if we could some way, somehow, try to keep from sinning, which is not possible, but if you tried hard and stopped doing those things that you know are an offense to a holy God, we still have a problem. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What that tells us is that that man that was created and placed in the Garden of Eden so many years ago and given just one commandment, he and his wife Eve were given one commandment, and that was this: do not partake of the fruit that is on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord said to them, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And living in a perfect environment, free from the allurements that we face every day, having only one command incumbent upon them, they managed to blow it royally. They sinned. Years ago, I received a telephone call from a family in the church, and they said, Pastor, would you come quickly to St. Mary's Hospital because there's a little baby here in intensive care and the family's gathered around and we would like for you to be here and pray with us. As I arrived there, there was a family from our church, and the story was that the sister of one of our staff ladies had been addicted to crack cocaine. And she became pregnant and she gave birth to a little baby. That little baby's name was Krishan. Krishan lay in that neonatal intensive care unit in that little warming crib connected to wires and tubes, fighting for dear life. And little Krishan was addicted to crack cocaine. But Krishan never one time put a crack pipe to his lips and drew that drug into his system. He never one time put a needle in his arm and injected that drug. He never one time took that drug into his body. You see, because his mother was addicted to the drug, he was born as an addict. And we may say that is so unfair. And yet, just as Krishan inherited that addiction from his mother, you and I have inherited the scourge of sin. It has been passed down from generation to generation through the seed of Adam, and we who come from his gene pool are not sinners because we do things wrong. We are sinners because that is what we are. You say, I don't like this message very much. Well, I'm with you. Neither do I. But it is true. And I don't know about you, I'd rather agree with a God that cannot lie and trust Him for my forever. And I've got to understand why I need a Savior to have the desire to receive that Savior. So the Bible goes on to tell us the wages of sin is death. Now, wages are something that there are a world of people in our country hoping to one day again earn. A lot of people on the unemployment lines that would like to go to work. And when they go to work, they will put in their time on the job. And at the end of the pay period, they hope to pick up their wages. That's what they have earned. And the Bible says what we have earned because of sin is death. Now, I would tell you this. Many times as a pastor through the last 29 years, I have held fast to the hand of someone as they drew their last breath on this side of eternity. And I can tell you in a single word what took place there. And that is this: separation. For the Bible says very clearly, the body without the spirit is dead. And when the soul and the spirit of a man depart his body, they will spend forever someplace. So physical death occurs when there is the separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. But there is also a second death spoken of in the Scripture that is a spiritual death, not just a physical death. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. You see, for those that are not willing to accept their sinful condition and God's payment for sin, they will not only suffer the consequence of a physical death, but they will also suffer the consequence of a spiritual death, and that is separation from God who is in heaven. And the Bible tells us that that second death is in the lake of fire, a devil's hell. You say, "I don't like this message at all, Pastor." Neither do I. But I got to tell you, you're going to like the rest of the story. What this preacher deserves, apart from what Jesus has done for me, is to die a horrible death and go to a devil's hell and suffer forever and never escape. But the Bible says this, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Being a sinner deserving of the devil's hell, Jesus said, "I love you. And I love you this much that I will go to a cross and I will take the payment for your sin in my own body so that you might be set free, so that you might be saved. The wages of sin is death." That's what we deserve. But Jesus took that punishment for us. And now the rest of the verse is, "But the gift of God is eternal life." The opposite of what I deserve. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And my friend, because God is holy, He could not simply look away from our sin. Because God is holy, He could not merely cover our sin. It had to be removed from us. Jesus, the Lamb of God, came to take away the sin of the world. And by taking it away, God could come forth in absolute holiness and declare all those who come under the cleansing flood of the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary, He will declare you not guilty, holy. And guess what? You can now come into His presence. Before, you had no access. Now, because He is holy and He fulfilled the holy demands that were against us, He's now holy in declaring you righteous. Guess what? The Bible says that He who knew no sin became sin for us. He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He paid the price for your sin, and with His shed blood, He purchased for you salvation. That means I'm forgiven. That means I'm delivered from destruction. That means I have the privilege of spending forever in heaven with God. You say, "Pastor, do you mean it?" I have it on authority from a God that cannot lie. The glorious impossibility. God cannot lie. It's glorious. You say, "How do I receive forgiveness? The gift of God, which is eternal life?" I'm glad you asked me that question. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." You know what? We have to believe the gospel. And what I am sharing with you right now is the gospel. "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." My friend, Can I tell you something else that is impossible to do? It is an impossibility to work for a gift. Did you hear that? It is an impossibility to work for a gift. Because if you have to do one thing to receive the gift, it invalidates it as a gift, and it is something that has been earned. It's payment for service rendered. And yet how many in even Christendom today would say that there's something you have to do. Here's God's part, here's your part. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. The only part I have is to believe God. The only part I have is to say, a God that cannot lie said, I cannot save myself, and I'm going to go to a devil's hell unless I trust in what He's done for me and that alone. That's the only part I have. I can't do one thing to get myself to heaven. The gift of God is eternal life. Did you know that the Bible says of that gift two times in Romans chapter 5, it's a free gift, a free gift. The Bible is very clear. The gift of God in Romans 6:23 is eternal life. And so God wants to give you the free gift. If you had to pay for it, you could never afford it. If you had to work for it, you could never work long enough to receive it. Because God requires holiness, and none of us who are unholy can ever produce that which is holy. We needed Jesus to do for us what we could never do for ourselves, to give us the gift of eternal life. Say, how do I take the gift that involves my forgiveness from every sin? The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Past, present, future. And when Jesus was on the cross, I wasn't even born yet physically. And so all of my sins were yet future. Jesus paid for them all in advance. And all I need to do is one time believe and trust Him and receive the gift of God. And He's promised. A God that cannot lie promised this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's saved? Delivered from destruction. I'm so glad that there's one thing that's impossible for God. It's impossible for Him to lie. And He said, whosoever, that's me, that's you, shall call, that's just praying, talking to God, upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. God promised, and He never lies. Now let me ask you a question, friend. Do you know that the Bible says that you're a sinner? Do you know that we're sinners by choice and by birth? Do you know that we could never save ourselves? And so Jesus loved us so much that He came to this earth to be made a sacrifice for your sin, to pay the price in full, so that you may receive forgiveness for all sin, past, present, and future, so that you may have the opportunity to spend forever in heaven with God. And if you believe that and know that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for your salvation, if you believe that and you ask the Lord to forgive you of all of your sin and to save you so that you may spend forever in heaven, the God that cannot lie said, you shall be saved. How long, Pastor? The Bible says everlasting life. It never ends. It never ends. Today, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. It's incredible that God loved us so much that He would give His very life to offer us this gift. And as He now offers it to you, the question is, will you receive it? Let's bow our heads and our hearts together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The service is nearly finished. Perhaps there's one in this room tonight that would say, you know, Pastor, I've listened to what you said, and I believe it. And I have never understood everything that you said about the gospel, but I believe it. And I've never yet acted upon that truth to place my faith in Jesus to forgive me of every sin and to save me from eternal damnation and to take me to heaven when I die. But I would like to have that gift, the gift of knowing I'm forgiven forever, the gift of heaven. And tonight, if you desire to have that, God desires to give it to you. And in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. Sometimes we call it the sinner's prayer. And if you believe with all of your heart that you're a sinner and that you cannot save yourself, but that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price and the penalty for your sin and to offer you heaven forever with the forgiveness of that sin, and you believe that, in a moment, as I pray aloud, I'm going to invite you to quietly in your heart pray it together with me. I'll not embarrass you. But tonight, if you've never made that choice with your understanding, fully understanding the gospel as you have heard it tonight, straight from the Bible, I want to invite you as I pray these words to pray them quietly in your heart. And I must say before we pray that there are no magic words that get a person to heaven. It's not repeat this prayer, it's a done deal. Because the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. And so tonight, God is not looking at your lip. He is looking into your heart. And if you believe with all of your heart that He wants to save you, and you want to be saved and receive that gift, as I pray this prayer now, out loud, I invite you to pray it quietly in your heart with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. I now invite Jesus into my heart and into my life to forgive me of every sin. I'm now trusting in Jesus and Jesus only to save me and to take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Enable me to live for Thee. For this I pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. While our heads are still bowed, our eyes are still closed in this holy moment, as Brother Mike begins to play softly, perhaps there's someone in this service tonight, and in your heart of hearts, you came into this service without certainty, without knowing that your sins were forgiven, and without the certainty of heaven. But tonight you heard the message in song and in word, and you learned that God cannot lie, and He gave you the truth. And tonight, if there's one that in your heart, you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all of your heart, I will not embarrass you. I will not call you out. I simply want to rejoice together with you that tonight you receive the greatest gift that has ever been given and may ever be received. And tonight, if there's one that would say and not be ashamed, Pastor, I prayed that prayer with my understanding. Tonight, I'm not ashamed to let you know. I took the gift by faith, the gift of forgiveness and heaven. Pastor, I'm not ashamed to tell you. While no one is looking except me, I wonder if you just lift your hand and say, I'm not ashamed to tell you, Pastor, I prayed that together with you. Just slip it up and